The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw It, episode 494. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
That's Tony. Don't you know we're recording in here?
You know? And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, people, we're back with another one. I almost didn't unmute us because OBS is different and unmute is on the other side now. But I got it. I got it. You know, back here again. No Chris action. He is on the road. And Brian is in Africa. I'm not even making that up. He's in Africa visiting.
Was it something of the Africa? What's that song?
Toto?
Toto, yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. I see the rains down in Africa. No,
yeah, that's what he's doing down there.
Yeah, he's down in Africa seeing the rains.
Yeah.
Oh, he's blessing the rain. Look, if you guys aren't aware of this, Africa has a distinct lack of vampires, and that's because periodically people go down and bless the rain.
Damn.
Why it's only a European problem. I don't know why we haven't figured this out.
Yeah, bless the rain, man. Rain man, hey, you know. But yeah, Brian's on there for a family wedding and stuff. So, you know, went back to the motherland. Good stuff. But we are here for another throwdown. An interesting week, if I must say. I wouldn't say any bombshells happened, but some interesting stuff. Now, as we usually do when a new game drops and one of us has reviewed it, we will start to show off with a review. So, Rich, you're going to tell us about, and forgive me if I say the name wrong here, Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess. You have actually played this game, and you're going to regale us with your impressions.
Yes, sir. Well, first and foremost, I think you got the name correctly the first time. All so right. Congratulations.
That's what happens when you watch a lot of anime, you know? but obviously from here, I think just for, because somebody's going to fuck up, even me eventually, we just call it Path of the Goddess from now on, you know?
But you can say Kunitsugami. Kunitsugami!
Kunitsugami! Oh, man. All right, go ahead, Rich. What's up with this game? Because it's a very interesting game. It kind of, to me, you know, because it could be one of these fucking games I, like, heard of a million times and it just went in one ear and out the other. But I first heard about this game, what was it, like 2 months ago during the summer showcase or whatever? And then all of a sudden it's everywhere. Very interesting.
Yes. Okay, well, first and foremost, yes, I am working on a review for this game. The review will be up tomorrow. The game is actually out tomorrow. It's going to be on Game Pass for those that are interested in trying it out. It's also going to be on PC and PlayStation 5.
Nice.
So this game actually was announced by Capcom a while back. And when it got announced, obviously, we saw the game at first. It's like, I personally didn't really think this would be a game that I would be interested in when I saw that first trailer, because it's basically a real-time strategy type of game. It has action elements in it as well, but they're calling it an action real-time strategy, but it's also tower defense-based type of game as well. So to describe this game, essentially, it's a very simple concept. Pretty much there's this... There's this land, it's a mountain that is inhabited by a ton of villagers, people. Your job is to basically purge the island. You go to the various stages purging the island because it's this enemy called the Seath. And it's this very type of spirits that it's creatures, defilement. So pretty much every area has to be purged. And you play this warrior that your basic job is to protect the goddess and create a path. So which once she gets to the Tori gates, she can purge the gates. you basically go through various stages doing this. And why I like the game is because it starts out with that simple concept. This is what it is. You have to protect, you know, as you go through each stage, there are villagers that have also been caught up in this defilement, so you can free them, and then you can give them roles as various types of warriors. You know, you can give them certain type of weapons, and a lot of this is going into the culture of, you know, that particular time period. You can choose whether you want to turn a villager into an archer, or someone that has a sword, or even a sumo wrestler. And the sumo wrestlers, maybe it's not exactly a sumo wrestler. The wrestlers themselves, they're just a much more powerful, much bigger person that they turn into. And basically their job is to help aid you as you go against the sea, which is the creatures. Now, it works on a night and day type of cycle. So basically you're supposed to prepare the entire day because there's a path that you can see that's going towards the gate. So basically you have the entire day to prepare the villagers who become your allies, prepare them for battle. But then once the sun goes down, this is when the invasion starts and the portals open up, and then these creatures are coming out. And of course your job is to protect the goddess, because she is the one that's basically, once she gets to the gate, she's able to purge them. So you have to protect her, get her to that path, and then protect her. It's definitely a lot to explain. I know there's a demo that is available right now pretty much on PlayStation and Xbox, and I do encourage people to try out the demo if they're interested. But the reason why I like the game is because it takes that formula of all the stuff that I described, and then it turns it on its head as you get deeper into the game. Some of the enemies that you go against, like they do have, when you get through each stage afterwards, they have like this challenge stage where you have to basically face a boss. And of course, this entire time, you think you figured out a particular strategy that works. You know, okay, I have a certain amount of archers that I've decided to basically position a certain place. But then that could change based on the enemy that you face. And there are various types of enemies you face as you get deeper into the game that makes it a lot more challenging. It's not just the easy one and done. Because obviously, once the creatures get to the goddess, that means that's it. The mission is over. You can restart the mission or start the stage over again, but the goal is to make sure that the goddess does not have all of her energy depleted, because there are various times when you're trying to protect her, you got to look various different places. And one stage I played on, there were multiple paths that I had to choose which path I wanted to take to get to the Torii gates. And obviously I saw one path I took that was not the right path. So then I had to go back and choose the other path. And then, of course, you can still find a way to work things out. But it just requires a lot of strategy. And, you know, like I said, I don't play too many real-time strategy games. But this is a game that I think is very easy for anybody to jump into. It was definitely a pleasant surprise. And I think that Capcom did a very good job of releasing it at a time like now, because normally the summertime, there aren't really that many games out. So they did an excellent job to release in a month like July, where there's not a ton of games out that can, you know, be disruptive. So hopefully it does well. But I definitely would say that it's worth checking out the demo, at least if you want to. And the fact that it is coming to Game Pass, 1000% you should check this out if you have Game Pass. Yes. But I just want to say this is a strategy game. It is some action elements in there, but this is a strategy game. It's going to force you to think. And now, if you're not somebody that wants to play those types of games, it may not be for you. But I think everyone who does try this out, they may actually enjoy it to a certain extent.
But Rich, should I buy it?
That's the question. Should I buy it?
$1 million question.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I think this game is. I got to check the pricing. I think it's what? Is it 50? Is it $50? Something like that.
Okay.
I think. Listen. I like the game a lot, and I'm somebody who didn't think I would like this game. When I saw that first trailer, I said, okay, this is something different from Capcom, but where's Resident Evil? You know, our good friend Chris, the Resident Evil fan, you know, I'm like, well, okay, where are the other stuff that I actually want to see? But once I actually had a chance to play the game, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I like this a lot. I do think it is worth picking up 100%. Obviously, like I said, if you have Game Pass, you can try it out. There's a demo that's out there on everything right now. So you can definitely try it out. But I do recommend the game 1000% for sure.
All right. That's a pretty direct answer.
Yeah. And it, I find it interesting. Rich has said that this isn't the type of game that he would normally play, but he ended up liking it. Kind of sounds like Concord.
Oh, man. Yeah, but
no, not Concord. I don't know what I just heard what Carlos said.
So Rich,
Concord?
Yeah,
no, right. Absolutely not. Continue. Go ahead.
No, so Rich, would you say that this game is a strategy game for people who don't like strategy games?
That's a very good way to describe it. Because they're calling it an action game. You know, you still are able to control your the main player. So is the name of the character you play as. You can control that character, and you're basically, you have control of all the other characters on the board except for the goddess. You know, you can tell her when to go and when to stop, but that's about it. It is a good game for somebody who hasn't gotten into strategy games, just to try it out and see. But yeah, it's not your typical real-time strategy. I haven't played too many real-time strategy games, so I wouldn't know for sure. But this was just easy to jump into because there was some intrigue from when I saw it the first time. And I was like, that looks interesting. But then when I played it, it's like, okay, yeah, it's pretty good.
Is the game out yet, or is it coming out pretty soon?
It's actually going to be out tomorrow. Correction. Yeah, said that. By the time that we're done with this podcast, it will be out. It'll be on Game Pass. It will be on PlayStation. It's on PC. But there is a demo out right now, though. There is a demo that's out right now. I do want to say this. Now, I haven't played the demo, so I don't know how many missions are in the demo. But yeah, what I noticed is that, you know, there's a good number of missions in the game. Once you get past the first couple missions, and then it starts to change up certain things, it gets a lot more interesting. And it's not like, because when I started playing this game and I got through the first two missions, I was like, okay, this is relatively easy for me to play this game. I could probably run through this really fast. But then it does change. The difficulty does change based on the enemy types that you face. It just forces you to think a lot more about how to get through the game. But it is definitely something that is relatively, it's a good learning curve involved, but it's not something that's going to be so difficult for you to figure it out. It's something that anybody can pick up and play, and they probably would be into it.
That's dope. Yeah, that's cool. And again, kind of like you said, it was previously announced, but it seems like it's a nice little surprise. People are like, you know, ever since it got, because I know they re-announced it again during Summer Game Fest, and people were pretty stoked, you know. And to their credit, Capcom pushed it too, which is good, you know. So new IP, people, new IP. So there you go. Good stuff, man. Anything else you guys want to ask Rich about this game?
I would like to ask if Rich likes Mr. Sparkle. I don't know. Yeah. When you said like, you know, you could turn people into super wrestlers, you ever watched, you remember that episode of The Simpsons?
Yeah. Mr. Sparkle.
Where he blows the magic over the girls and they turn into sumo wrestlers.
Oh man!
Yeah, I do want to say I was surprised to see that was an option because as you beat these bosses, you get these masks, and once you get these masks, that is what unlocks the other roles that you can give the actual villagers. And when I saw that wrestler one, I was like, well, that's interesting. Now I will say, when I used the wrestler and I needed to use the wrestler in a certain encounter, the wrestler still got his ass whooped. So I guess that's realistic, right? You know, a lot of the characters that I use, they still can get taken out, you know, so you really have to think about the strategy. And then of course, at the same time, as they take damage and you recover, you can heal them as well. But it's a lot of back and forth. So you have to kind of figure it out. But once you figure it out, it's really cool.
Yeah. Here's an interesting comment from Logic Wins. He goes,
uh-oh.
He goes, so basically, it's good enough for Game Pass?
Interesting comment. Well, let's talk about that comment. I think that comment has had a negative connotation because of Red Fail. And I don't want to say... I don't think this game, obviously, I enjoyed this game a hell of a lot more than Red Fail. You know, I don't know if Logic Wins enjoyed Red Fail, but I would say this is a great game for Game Pass. I'm not going to say it's good enough. I think this is a great game for Game Pass for those that are interested, but they don't want to spend all the full money to buy the game, and they want to see what it has to offer. I think this is an excellent value in as far as that's concerned, but in a good way, not a negative way. I actually enjoyed the hell out of this game. So, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's, you know, seriously, he says that he's glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, sir. Pretty yes. Dope. Meanwhile, I did hear that our very good friend Carlos, he did enjoy his time with Concord, because I'm sure he was playing it these last couple of days. So,
yeah, ever since he reset the world with New Game Plus.
Yeah, that's it, man. Carlos is really deep in that shit now, man.
I went into Elden Ring. I beat Shadow of the Erdtree with, you know, Tony and the fellas, and, you know, got have fun there, and then went to New Game Plus. Somehow it transformed to Concord. That's New Game Plus.
There you go. That's what happens, man. All right, man. Good stuff. Thanks for that, Rich. Now let's get back in some news. By the way, people, we may have been done with the FTC going after Xbox and Microsoft, but the FTC ain't done yet, baby. They're still coming, you know? So, you know, like we reported last week, Xbox Game Pass, they're hiking up the price and adding a new tier, which doesn't get games day one. And the FTC issued a statement saying that, you know, them raising the price is exactly the anti-consumer tactics they feared would happen after the merger. They said literally, this is exactly the sort of consumer harm from the merger that the FTC alleged. I guess Ms. Khan ain't done with Xbox yet, you know? Because isn't this shit, like, over? Like, the merger's already done, right? Like, nothing yeah, these that, people say is going to change anything, you know?
No, this is just them saying, see, I told you!
You know? Yeah, Carlos, well, get in here, man. What's your take, bro?
It's not surprising. I mean, when you the FTC, that's why they exist, is to try to criticize companies when, you know, things like mergers, acquisitions, spin-offs, all that stuff, that's like their whole point. So, you know, you guys might think, like those that are in the gaming industry think that it's just a Xbox problem. That's everyone. Yeah. I mean, they do it with Apple, they do it with Google, they did it with Nvidia a few years ago when they stopped the ARM acquisition. That's essentially the why they exist. So yeah, don't expect the criticisms towards Microsoft to stop anytime soon, especially when Microsoft is top three market cap company in the world. So yeah, this is gonna keep going.
Why don't they go after like somebody like Tencent or what is that other company?
I don't know if they can go after Tencent.
It's Chinese.
Well, especially with them acquiring all kinds of other different companies, you know, all kinds of companies.
Blitz says it won't go anywhere, but at least it highlights the issues for future reference. But again, to what end? You know, like I'm just trying to see what the goal is here. Just gotcha. We told you. Like it's got to be more than that. You know. Go ahead, Rich.
I know what the goal is here. We have to come to the conclusion that Lena Khan has a personal vendetta with Microsoft for some reason. Obviously. They are still butthurt because Microsoft pulled off that acquisition. But the thing about it is this. Even when Microsoft and Activision, they had all those layoffs, the FTC were once again complaining about Microsoft. So then when they see them now raising the prices of Game Pass, it's like no matter what Microsoft does, these people want to complain and talk about it. And, of course, we already said we didn't like the price increase happen. We understand why it happened. But what I'm saying is that this lady definitely has a personal vendetta with Microsoft. And I think that the FTC, they can highlight it. That's fine. But I'm pretty sure there's other more important stuff they should be doing instead of spending tax dollars worried about talking about Microsoft still at this point. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. He says for the next time they try to acquire. Yeah, I guess that's true. Because they will be coming after Microsoft again when they try this again. You already know. Like you said, Khan has a vendetta. She really does. Khan! You know?
But she's like Microsoft test.
It tests me.
I almost feel like I should have put her put her head on Ricardo Montalban's body.
Well, you know, we still got time.
That's okay. Yeah. What's done is done.
Save it for next time, because I'm pretty sure she'll be back.
She'll be back.
Yeah, so save it for next time.
The Wrath of Khan.
That shit is crazy, man. Let me read some of these comments. Logic wins. Responding to Blitz. I don't know, man. Microsoft seems like they can swing their nuts around and get their way regardless. I mean, they stopped. FTC stopped some Microsoft shit back in the day.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like a guaranteed thing.
Yeah, it's just the gaming industry doesn't. It's not really that. You know, it's not as big as something like, for example, like ARM was. The acquisition of ARM was with Nvidia. It's more. It's like, oh, I disagree with this, but reality doesn't really affect that much. So I'm not going to stop it.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. FTC strikes again. Oh, by the way, the next couple of stories we got here are all Xbox related. Very Xbox heavy week, you know. All right, moving on here. I brought this up, but we'll talk about it again. Call of Duty Black Ops 6 beta dates confirmed, and the beta is coming to all platforms on day one. There's not going to be any exclusive early access as we've seen in the past. What am I talking about? I was actually talking about this before the show. I'm getting it all mixed up. So peel it back. Little history lesson for you guys. So if you remember back in the day when Call of Duty was like, you know, had the marketing exclusive rights or whatever, you know, Microsoft had it with Call of Duty. They had the betas early for Xbox. PlayStation guys had to wait. Then it got flipped, right? When the marketing rights were on for PlayStation, they got the early access, right? Before Xbox. Now it's coming everybody day one, regardless of a platform. So you could say Microsoft democratized it. You know, people aren't talking about that, but it's true. You got to give the devil his due. Now, you don't have, like, oh, if you pre-order, you get it first on this platform. No, you get it. If you pre-order it, you get it no matter what. That's pretty cool, you know? And early access to beta will be available to Game Pass subscribers and those who pre-order. So yeah, if you're an Xbox Game Pass subscriber, you're already effectively pre-ordered it. So you could jump in on that beta too, you know? Very interesting, man. Carlos, what's your take on this? You know, because, you know, obviously you remember back in those days when it was like, no, only you guys get the early access. No, only you guys get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that turns out to be a good thing for the industry. I don't want to say it's a, you know, just like a across the board good thing, because, you know, acquisitions can sometimes turn bad. We've seen with with Embracer and what they've done,
you know.
But yeah, this is a good thing for the industry. I mean, having a game like Call of Duty, a game of that scale being available for everyone as a beta, is something that, you know, it was. Before, it was the only positive. It was bragging rights for fanboys. It didn't really serve that much of a purpose,
yeah.
Except for people just, you know, being able to brag about it. People were always going to play it wherever they were going to play it. But I guess, you know, but I am thinking, you know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about it, and the game is already at a state where it's like, I don't think it's going to grow that much more, you know. So I feel like it doesn't really matter, because people are already made their minds up and they're going to get the game wherever they're going to get it. But, you know, as far as the whole democratizing the aspect, I mean, it's good. It's good lip service, at least.
Yeah. But yeah, but like you said, it, you know, it is something good that seems to have come out of this merger, you know, so, you know, mm-hmm. That's good. You know, I know that, you know, it's obviously going to be some people hating, but you got to give the devil his due in this case, you know. Rich, what's your take on it?
Oh, I think this is great news. And to give a shout out to our very good friend, Mr. Adam Vail. This is it, right? This is the one,
you know?
Yeah, I think this was a good decision. You know, I know when Phil Spencer had the Xbox conference and they talked about Call of Duty, they said they wanted to bring this game everywhere, obviously. So, yeah, good decision to have this beta going down, and looking forward to checking it out.
Yeah, so the beta, we'll check this out. So early access, you know, pre-order people, starts on August 30th and runs through the September 4th. Then the open beta is from September 6th to September 9th. And when does the game drop again? October 25th. So a month beforehand. So, you know, they definitely want to test this shit out. pretty cool. Be interesting to see. Again, like I said before, I'm curious to see what the sales numbers are going to be now that people could effectively get it for free on Xbox. You know, like, will it hurt sales, like physical sales? We'll have to see, you know. Very interesting. All right, moving on here. Okay, again, talking about Xbox. We discuss how the Xbox app is coming to, the Amazon Fire TV, dongle. But now they're actually selling a bundle. It was actually on sale during Prime Day, too, but it's normally retails for $80. So basically, the bundle includes an Xbox controller, the Fire Stick. I always get this fucked up. It's Fire TV. Fire TV Stick. Because I want to keep saying Fire Stick TV, but it's Fire TV Stick. So it comes with that and Xbox Game Pass. So pretty interesting stuff.
So essentially, what you can do is you can pair it to your Fire TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got a retarded ass question. Carlos, I'm aiming it right at you.
Yo.
If I get the Fire TV Stick or whatever,
uh-huh,
does it work on non-Amazon TVs?
Oh yeah. It's like a Roku Apple TV kind of device.
Yeah, it just takes up an HDMI slot on your television, and it just works that way. So in other words, if your TV doesn't have that stuff, it'll hold apps and all kinds of others. Pretty much like most.
Okay, that makes sense.
You can even get like Netflix or Roku or any of the other apps that are on there too. So it's not only just Amazon.
Yeah. And I was just curious. I don't really, because I've always said, I'm like, I have these apps on my TV already. What do I need a dongle for? But it's because if you want to use like your Xbox controller, like on your PC, you can do Bluetooth or you can use that dongle. So this is kind of like that, but for your television. Pretty cool. And again, you don't need an Xbox. Like Microsoft was telling you, no Xbox, no problem. You know, so effectively, you get access to a bunch of Xbox games for $80.
And what is it, a year? Year's worth of TV? Amazon?
I don't know how long it is, but yeah. Manny. Not even close.
What is it, like a month?
1 month. Oh, that's kind of cheap.
So, yeah, so what are you mostly paying for that?
You're paying
that
for the bundle? Subscription service, yeah.
Well, no, like you're paying, so like the
controller. Oh, the controller is, and the stick. And a controller, okay. Yeah.
So the controller is usually around 50, 60 bucks, right?
Yeah.
And then a Fire Stick, like the higher end one, which is their probably.
Yeah, this is the 4K one, yeah.
So this is the 4K one, which they've had around for a few years.
Yeah, let me look at the price. And it also comes with a remote, too.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. They all come with remotes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Again, I don't have one of these devices, so I wouldn't know.
When I did some work a while ago for Amazon, they actually did gift us the 4K ones.
Yeah. So. Normally it's $50. Right now, obviously, it's on sale.
Yeah, so they're literally just cutting, they're slashing the prices on both the stick and the controller. And then, they're pretty much giving you the month for free.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. How many of these devices exist?
What, the Fire Sticks?
Yeah, like there's a Fire Stick, there's the Roku,
Apple TV,
that's another one.
There is, what else is?
Yeah, those are the main ones I know about.
Mm-hmm. But Apple TV doesn't, like, Apple TV is a little bit more substantial.
Yeah.
It's an actual, like, little pot, like, puck. Whereas the Fire Stick is literally just like a stick that goes into your television.
Yeah.
And same with the Roku, it looks very similar. Though the Fire Sticks that come with a power cable. They don't run exclusively off of the power. They can run off exclusively off the power, but they also come. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that it had a cord. At least Bill and I.
Yeah. No, Bliss, I'm not yawning because I'm bored. I'm yawning because I'm fucking tired, bro. And ironically enough, it's because of Amazon Prime Day. Because during Amazon Prime Day, I had a different schedule. It was from like 10 in the morning to 6 o'clock. And I liked it for 2 days. I was working and not tired at all. But then come Thursday, when I had to go back to my normal schedule, I fall asleep at 3 a.m. I had to wake up at 8, and I'm all fucked up, you know? But I like, half of me wants to go to my boss, like, yo, can I work from 10 to 6? I work better, you know? Dude, I was, like, refreshed. I was like, shit, you know? That 1 hour extra sleep, man, it makes a difference. But, yeah, I'm not obviously going to be yawning. I selected this story, you know? I find it interesting. And I also just wanted to learn more about this whole, you know, what do you call these? What's the exact name of these things? Like streaming sticks?
Dongles? I don't know. I never knew what the name of it was.
Yeah. Again, I find these devices interesting because at least for me, I'm like, these apps are already on my TV, you know, but I know some of these have apps that may not be on TV. So I get that, you know. That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know exactly what the positive of having it. I mean, other than, you know,
like, do you get better reception or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Better performance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yo, Carlos, let me ask you a question. Explain first, and then I got the question.
Yeah. So those streaming sticks usually have better performance than the TV. TV apps don't really get supported that much. The TV hardware isn't really that good for these types of apps. So having a dedicated device for those types of operations is just a lot better.
What do you mean by performance? Like reduced latency or something?
Yeah, like it won't be as laggy. Like sometimes, like after your TV, after a while, it'll just start being really slow. Like the operating system and all that, it's just really slow. So it gets a lot better with the streaming stick. But I mean, the Apple TV also does a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, it does what's it called? FaceTime and all that other and the Photos app and all that stuff.
And that leads to the question I had. I could be wrong about this, but doesn't that shit have an M1 chip in it?
No, not the. It has like a bionic one.
Okay, yeah, the phone one. Maybe that was a rumor I heard that they were thinking about putting an M1 chip on it. I'm like, damn, that's crazy, you know. But yeah, there you go. You don't need an Xbox to play Xbox games. We've been telling you this shit for almost 10 years. You know?
Yep.
We're gonna be like that. You know, the way the FTC is gonna be with Microsoft, we're gonna be like that with this shit. You know, we told you so. Go ahead, man.
Think about it. That's Microsoft's strength, is software. What do they want to get away from? They want to get away from. But like one interesting something, like going back to the Apple thing, it would make sense if they put an M1 chip inside of that little hockey puck because it could run those games, you know, those supposed games that they have in there. So, and I noticed that, like, you know, I don't know if this is this, we're not going to talk about this, but, you know, Apple did have a thing for their gaming division, you know, talking about it, you know, pretty recently. I saw Danny and Paris talking a bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to that event last week where they had it in the city too. I basically got to see, like, for example, they had Resident Evil Village running on iPhone, iPad, and MacBook, and there's crossplay or whatever, cross save. Not crossplay because the game's on multiplayer, but it had cross save. You know, if you're playing on your Mac, oh, I gotta go. Start keep playing your phone. I got to see, I talked about this last week. I literally talked about this event last week. I got to see that fucking gotcha game. I did, listen to last week's show. I talked about the event. So it seems, Manny, they are called streaming devices.
Okay, there you go.
I went to Tom's Guide, which, you know, I may know that website.
no frills name. I thought it was like, you know.
Yeah, something fancy. Something else. Yeah. You know what I always find interesting about the Apple TV? It looks like a Apple Mini or Mac Mini, you know?
Yeah, it looks like the rest of their products.
Yeah, like a Mac Mini, you know. Okay, so, you know, this is what Tom's Guide says. The number one streaming stick is Roku.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, it's number one and number two.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I mean, Roku is a beast. They offer a lot of programming for free. Like, you could have a Roku and you can just...
Roku?
Yeah, you can literally watch a bunch of stuff for free.
Like Tubi?
No, beyond Tubi, they literally have a whole channel where you can literally watch, like, you know, like Little House on the Prairie, any one of those shows, like Murder She Wrote channel, where they just keep playing Murder She Wrote back to back, like marathon.
Yeah. Yo, Rich, remember that clip I played you from his Tubi movie? That shit was wild, man. Like, I can't even, like, repeat what happened, like, on air. But I like your reaction. Like, you're like, this, you're like, this acting is absolute trash.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's hilarious. Again, I would have quoted it, but I can't. We'll get more demonetized than usual. You know, Tubi is wild, you know? So this is interesting. So there's the Roku Streaming Stick 4K and the Roku Express 4K.
Mm-hmm.
And then number three, I'm just going to go down the line here. Number three is the Chromecast. I didn't realize I was still around.
That's another one.
I used that for Stadia because that's how you had to use it. Number four, Apple TV 4K. The NVIDIA Shield. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Adam.
Yeah, yeah.
He has all of those.
I got all of them. And number six, last place, Amazon Fire TV Stick. Man.
Good job, Microsoft.
You know, bring that shit up. Bring it up.
this is what Microsoft needs to do. They need to get it on all of them. They need to get on Apple TV. Yeah. They need to get it on Roku. They need to get it on everything. All the TV apps, because they only have it on Samsung TVs, on the new Samsung TVs, and they only have it on the Fire Stick. If they can get it on Apple TV and Roku, man, that is huge. Because the install base on those two, I mean, in Roku in particular, is freaking massive. So
who here has one of those on the panel?
What,
Manny? Apple, you have Roku, right?
I have Roku and I have a Fire Stick.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah.
Which one do you like better?
I don't really use the Fire Stick so much. That's one. That one's connected to my dirt old television in the living room.
Yeah.
But it was nice. It's definitely nice to have because before I was using it to turn on it all, I had, Netflix, like on my PlayStation and stuff like that. So what I would, now I don't need to turn the PlayStation up to it.
That's good.
But even so, like, I just recently got a new cable box, and apparently that has the ability to put apps on it too. So I could literally put, you know, the Netflix on that thing and not even use the Fire Stick. But the Fire Stick it's been pretty good. Like, I don't have a 4K television, but it's nice to have a lot of that stuff available, and it connects directly to all your Amazon stuff. So if you have any videos and things that you've got, and it'll work.
That's yeah, cool. I have a Roku and I have Apple TV.
Is one thing I want to know about the app that's going to be available? Is there like a compatibility level for it? So like, how far back of a Fire Stick can you go back?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because mine is at least possibly at, like, 2019, 2020. It's like 4 years old, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know the answer to that, Manny, but I'm pretty sure there's gonna be a cutoff because they did it with the Samsung TVs as well. I remember when the Samsung TV app for Game Pass came out, it wasn't available for TVs older than like 2021, I think.
Huh. Okay. Interesting.
How long are these things supported for?
It just like any app, as long as there's people that still use it there. When the install base is low, they'll just never support it.
The one thing I do notice though, and this is just having, you know, when you talk about having apps on your television, like after a certain amount of time, the apps under my television didn't work anymore. They didn't update them because my television and television's pretty, you know, at least 10 years older.
Oh shit.
HD's been around for a long time.
Yeah, you got to upgrade to 4K, man.
For what?
For 4K. That's for why.
4K. What is in 4K that matters?
Isn't Netflix on in 4K now?
Who gives? Netflix is a bullshit of fake 4K.
Yeah. There's not a lot of games in 4K. That's also
true. There's not a lot of games in 4K. My cable box is right now only.
What about physical media? Buy some UHDs, man.
I mean, 1080p is fine. Looks good.
Yeah. Right. Hey, I mean, more power to you, man. That's pretty incredible.
If I, you know, once the wheels fall off of this television, that's when I'll replace it. But other than
I respect that.
I don't see any. I don't see any reason to upgrade my TV for a bunch of content. The only thing I can watch it for that could be guaranteed for full 4K is live sports, and I don't watch live sports.
Yeah, there you go, many foolish people. He goes, he is with you.
Yeah,
he goes 4K for what?
Yeah, especially if the games out there could barely hit 4K, right?
Yeah, on consoles 4K, at least we got a PC as a different story, you know.
Yeah, if you got a PC, but a PC you buy a better quality PC monitor for that stuff, right? But you know, with a nice refresh rate and all that stuff. But like a living room TV or a home console that doesn't, you know, that can barely do 4K. Yes, there is 4K media that you can do with, you know, you can have with DVDs, you know, excuse me, with Blu-rays, right? That's great. That's about it. I mean, again, Netflix and all the other streaming services, they say, quote unquote, say it's 4K, but it's not 4K.
Yeah, because it's streaming.
It's heavily downgraded. It's not full 4K.
It's streaming.
Oh god.
Granted, it's clearer than popping a 1080p thing on your 4K. It's not full 4K.
Yeah. All right. That was this week's installment of the tech throwdown.
The tech down.
All right. Moving on. Now again, still on Xbox stuff, but now we're going to get into some silly stuff. And this isn't something you could buy. It's a contest. So Xbox currently has a contest where you can win a controller that lets you play with Deadpool's ass.
Well, it has a butt on the controller.
Yeah, you can play with his ass. You know? It's called the Xbox Cheeky Controller Sweepstakes.
So it's a weird one because there's one with a full... I've seen another part of this where it's a full console that's all dressed up as Deadpool. It's got two swords and comes with two controllers with butts on them.
Yeah, I've seen that, but all I've seen talk about is the controller, you know? So I don't know if you get that console or not, but I just find it funny how Xbox has all these controllers, barely any exclusives.
They have more exclusive consoles.
Yeah, they do.
Consoles than they do console exclusives.
Yeah.
One thing, I mean, it's fun that they're doing this, but you know, I would have to call them out on this for not thinking. Okay, so number one, they have that they've been showing the Deadpool console. It comes with has a Deadpool, like, you know, it's Deadpool's chest and it's got two swords on the back. And it comes with the two controllers. How come they didn't make a Wolverine controller if it's a Deadpool and Wolverine? So you get the two of them together. One's a Deadpool themed one. One's a Wolverine themed one.
I wonder. Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that there's a Wolverine game coming to the rival console?
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem to affect anything else. I mean, Wolverine's going to be in the Marvel versus Capcom game. They didn't pull him out of that, so
yeah.
I don't know what their contracts look like. But there's that. Number two, during the release of this campaign, obviously there is no it's a thing for a video game tie-in sweepstakes. You know for this movie. How come they didn't re-release X-Men Origins Wolverine and the Deadpool video game?
Who owns that?
Microsoft.
Oh, shit. That's right. They do.
They're both that. Activision games.
Yeah.
So they literally could, if all they would need to do, not a lot of work, they could essentially get.
Well, they got to go through Marvel, don't they?
They're already talking to Marvel.
Yeah. So do you think they could just like, hey, can you toss this in too?
Yeah, like, couldn't they have do something like that? Where, in other words, you essentially, all you need to do is, because the Deadpool game came out for the Xbox One, right? So that would run on an Xbox Series X or S,
yeah.
Fine, backward compat. The only one would be the 360, like, Wolverine game.
And even that could probably run, too.
That could run in their backward compatibility stuff, too. So theoretically, it would be no work to do this promotion. You promote the movie, and then you put out two games, very critically acclaimed, very good games that are connected to this thing. Come on, people.
Put them on Game Pass.
Yeah, we can literally put them on Game Pass.
Yeah, you know, they didn't do it because it would make too much sense.
It's, you know, it's all about Britain. Again, I don't know what their contracts look like, and maybe it is true that maybe that any sort of, you know, maybe it's true. This guy's getting in trouble.
Podcat.
So, yeah. It's we don't know what their contract looks like for this sort of stuff, but it makes a lot of sense. You have a Deadpool console or controller coming out, and then you bucket it in with these two games that were, you know, that are now owned by Microsoft that only need a Marvel license to sort of clear the way for.
Yeah, but yeah, there you go. Good luck. Good luck if you're entering. You know,
but it's funny when I said that, apparently some website picked it up. So I got quoted on.
Oh, you did? Oh boy.
Yeah, they're like some fans use the opportunity to ask for the re-release of Wolverine and the Deadpool, two critically acclaimed, you know, very well made games or something like that. I'm like, oh, look at that. I don't know why some sites do that, where they'll literally post like random people's tweets inside of their
article. Oh, I'll tell you why, because they're fucking lazy. Because it's simple, cheap content. That's why.
Yeah.
You know? It's stupid. I hate that. Oh, on Twitter, they said. And you're making posts out of that. And obviously, I have a little bit of a grudge against that sort of stuff. Kotaku, using my fucking tweets for your bullshit article. You know?
The one thing I will love is when people, like, when they cite, like, opinions from people with really stupid usernames. Like, they'll be like, This is a stunning juxtaposition between reality and the hive mind, says two butts, one face.
You know? Brett, what's your take on this Deadpool controller, man?
I mean, look, the licensing shit is weird. Like, I'm like, you know, I agree with everybody in the what should happen in a just insane world. And then there's the world we live in, which weird, stupid licensing shit, like... Whenever you get lawyers involved, like, shit just stops making sense. And at a certain point, I'm just like, I don't know who owns what or who owns the rights to what on what, because they've sold those rights to somebody else for some other project that didn't get manifest, and then the rights may have reverted and then get held up. Like, it's so convoluted that I'm like, cool, you know, it seems like everybody and their brother wants to cash in on Deadpool, which, you know, is a longtime fan of Deadpool. I'm about fucking sick of, but you know, it's fine. It's whatever. It is what it is. All of our favorite childhood heroes have been bastardized and exploited. At least this one's still, you know, pretty good. So,
yo, Tony, at the risk of sidetracking the conversation into a movie conversation.
Yeah.
Brett, are you excited about this movie?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I was curious, because you're the number one Deadpool fan in this podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was just curious because I haven't heard about you talk about that one. I don't know if, you know, most of the fan base is already sort of tired of it or anything.
No,
like that.
I think most of the Deadpool fan base, like, Deadpool's, it's fairly removed from everything else, and like, even like, but like, it has always seemed to be kind of like, I want to say it's woke proof, but it kind of already had a lot of that weird tolerance built into it before it was, you know, trendy to do so. So like, I just kind of feel like Deadpool is its own separate thing. And I kind of feel like Brian Reynolds and JT Miller, I think is his name, had executive producer rights on it from poning up so much money during the first filming of the movie when they wanted to short it about $40 million. So they both retained executive producer roles on it. So Disney can't really do a whole lot without them. And it is basically a cash printing machine. So I feel like as long as Ryan Reynolds wants to try and stay somewhat true to source material, then it's going to stay the same thing. I think it's, and you know, I think he wants to. I think he's a fan ever since he did the god-awful iteration in the original Wolverine. He, you know, from what I understand, he had read up and done all his research and then was really disappointed by his actual role. And that's what got him to be a fan in the first place, and what got him to, you know, make and release the first trailer, which kind of forced Marvel's hand. There was such, you know, traction from that that it forced Marvel's hand, and they tried to short the money and they punted up the money. So it feels like he has taken agency and put money down to kind of, you know, I haven't put $12 million down because I believe and support Deadpool that much. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's done pretty well with the franchise so far. And I see no reason for that to change, because he has motivation to keep it the same. So I'm just, I, I wouldn't say even hesitantly cautious. Like, I'm excited. I don't want to get overhyped because then, you know, it's not going to live up to it. But, you know, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I hope it turns out good. The first movie was, to me, was just good, but I felt like the second one was kind of a step down from that.
And in the sequel always is.
Yeah, unless it's Terminator 2 or Aliens, and you know.
Yeah.
Unless it's a James Cameron movie.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, there you go. Deadpool controller ass. Speaking about ass TV shows, Rich, my condolences to you, man. I heard your favorite TV show of all time has been canceled. Halo TV series gone.
Oh.
Well, first and foremost, I still haven't watched that show. I know our very good friend Adam Vale watched the show and he thought it was good, but I think he had some complaints. So, yeah, I've never been interested in the show, especially when I see hear about the different things they've done with Master Chief. I've never been interested in the show, but and I definitely won't check it out now that it's been officially canceled. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but by the way, just for the sake of clarity, so it's been canceled at Paramount Plus, but the showrunners are looking for a new, like, home for the show. Nobody cares about this piece of shit, guys. Stop it. No one cares. People have been complaining about this from the jump. Master Chief taking off his fucking helmet, him getting, like, literally showing his ass. It's like, what are we doing here, you know? And, Rich, I'm like you. Never was interested in this, and I'm not interested in this. It smelled rotten before it aired, and then, you know, seeing the reactions, looks like I was right about that assessment.
You were right.
Yeah. You were right. So, yeah, they're looking for a new show. No, this shit's done. No one cares. This thing sucked, you know? So, D-O-A. Good riddance. Dead on arrival. Just dead. Shout out to Otaku Man. What's going on, you know? Well, he shouted out Fergus Mills. Is Fergus Mills in the building?
Yo, shout out to Fergus Mills.
You know? There he is. Currently it's only available for 2023 Fire TV. Oh, they're talking about streaming shit. Okay, cool. What's going on, brother? Mills, get ready, man. When that PS5 Pro drops, you know, some of us on the show may need it, you know, so get ready. Oh man. So yeah, nothing more I want to say about Halo. Fuck that shit. And the last thing I want to talk about, we're switching gears. Now we're talking about Sony, baby. Very interesting story. So as we know, one of our favorite studios, Japan Studio, was unceremoniously closed down many years ago. We had our suspicions as to why, and we talked about them on the show, and now it's been confirmed by Gravity Rush's creator. He said that Sony was pushing the studio, Japan Studio, which made typically indie kind of games, to make AAA games like The Last of Us, you know, and the studio guy, and man, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he was like, fuck this shit. I'm done.
Yeah,
and then a couple years, and then not shortly thereafter, the studio's gone, you know?
Yeah. So what it is that Toyama, like in that interview, he says that he enjoys his freedom, and he, you know, his idea was that, you know, usually in the way it usually goes, if you keep the way, and this also kind of shows the change in the guard, what the change in guard at a PlayStation was. So previously, and Shohei Yoshida even said this, that the PlayStation brand was an offshoot of PlayStation Music. And the way PlayStation Music used to function is, as long as you came in on budget, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And that's what the way they treated a lot of their developers. As long as you came in budget, you can do whatever the hell you want. And that's part of the reason why Toyama went over there. It's like, all right, I can keep this thing, you know, keep this game tight, and I can do this stuff, you know, do whatever they want. But as the years have gone on, and you can see it from the way Sony is, so PlayStation has sort of been pushing, they've been pushing toward these sort of what they call the surefire, like big budget type of thing. You know, hey, look, it's a Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, that's a well-known franchise. We're going to go with that. We got, a bunch of other ones that are all big, sort of these big titles. And what did Japan Studio make? Japan Studio made smaller games like Ico or Shadow of the Colossus or The Puppeteer. They made, you know, Gravity Rush, and Gravity Rush sure didn't have insane budgets. And in fact, if you look at the pricing of their games, they only dropped at a $40 price range. So, you know, again, like the, and that, then now you, once you saw the changing of the guard, you started seeing, like, okay, now there's, like, less games coming through. You don't see those smaller titles filling in the gaps. And Toyama pretty much confirmed it. They're like, they pushed us out.
Yep. So, yeah, pretty much what we suspected happened.
But this also goes back to what a lot of people were coming down on us and saying was right, what a certain Sean Layden was saying.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, this sort of, you know, constantly throwing out these incredibly huge AAA games is not sustainable. You need to have other smaller titles in there to sort of fill in those spaces. You can't be betting the cow and everything on one or two, you know, big hits or possibly thought of as big hits. You got to spread it out to multiple things. And then you have your big bang. So it's like not every movie studio makes a blockbuster. They also, well, at least the way it used to go, is you made your blockbusters, you know, you have your big Spielberg movie or you have your big tentpole film, you know, franchise film, but then you had other smaller films like horror films or other kind of dramas or kinds of other films that did cost nearly as much in the spaces in between.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. He said it.
No, it's upsetting stuff, man.
But here's the thing. A lot of people were calling us crazy for saying stuff like this. We were saying that there's a serious lack of games that is happening on PlayStation, and everything seems to be pushed toward these big titles. And people were saying, you're stupid, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, PlayStation's doing amazingly. I mean, obviously, they're doing amazingly because they're the zeitgeist console. You don't need, if you're the zeitgeist console, you could take a shit on a bed and people be like, oh my God, this is great.
And that's kind of happened in some cases.
Yeah, you could take, but I mean, you see where the bets are going. Like, you're seeing, like, they're spending all this money on titles that are just like, okay, why did you close Japan Studio and then hire another company to do a service game, which you haven't made a service game that has hit?
Yeah.
You launched with the service game that crashed and burned. Then you have 12 other ones, or maybe we'll say 11 other ones that are all waiting in the wing.
Yeah.
Helldivers 2 was the only one that...
That's the only one, yeah.
But the only reason why Helldivers even did anything, the pure reason why it did anything, is because they had the smarts to put it out on PC.
Yeah, that's true. It's more successful on PC.
PlayStation people don't give that much of a shit about that game, but you sure as shit does the guys on Steam do.
Yeah.
And then even they shot themselves in the foot on that one, too. So they just killed their one of their biggest successes by having this thing where you have to log in, you know, to a PlayStation account.
Yeah, that was fucked up. Yeah. But I, you know, by the way, just for the sense of fairness, Sony actually can't just shit out anything at OBSX. All Stars, like you said, did not hit, you know?
Well, they were expecting, see, the thing is that they went out with the idea of that being, this is going to be a surefire hit.
Yeah. No, but the point is, like, because Sony's been very successful despite not having a lot of game.
Because they're the zeitgeist console. You can, if you're the zeitgeist console, if you're thought of as the thing of gaming, and Microsoft went through the same.
Yeah,
same
they did.
Thing
yeah.
In the 360 era, so they're having the same. It's the same thing, and you're seeing the same mistakes from the leadership that took over too. The only difference is it didn't kill the fucking kill all of their momentum. Jim Ryan fucking up didn't fuck anything up because their previous sentiment was so strong that it didn't.
That momentum carried over.
But then again, if they're doing so well, well, why are they closing studios?
Yeah, well, everybody is, you know.
Everybody is, but I mean, like, yeah, like. This is the best year that they've ever had, but yet in all they're firing people. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Must mean that whatever those giant bets that they're saying, and we've seen this from the leaked information about how much it costs for the license of a Marvel game, and how much Insomniac is actually getting for the development of their own, of the title, or Sony is getting, Sony and Insomniac are getting for the development of those Spider-Man titles. Those aren't doing so amazing. Especially when it's all going out the door.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money for licensing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go, man. That's all I got here. Did anything else happen this week that may have slipped through the cracks?
There's more. There's actually more. There's actually quite a bit more to that Toyama interview, because he also speaks on a little bit on Tango Gameworks closing.
Yeah, what does he say about that?
So he said he's like look at From Software current. Despite them making different games, they still have a unity between their games, right? In other words, those Souls-ish type game, right? It's somewhat similar control aspects and you know mechanics and stuff that you're familiar with, a little bit reconfigured around plot, plots and all that other stuff, sort of reconfigured around, but with a new sort of world around. And that's what he was saying. He said that what he feels like is one of the reasons why maybe Tango Gameworks might have gotten closed is because they didn't do something that felt in the same line of games as their other titles. Hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, in other words, you have, you had Evil Within, which is an action survival horror game. But then they sort of pivot a little bit to, like, a first-person, like, you know, that big game where you essentially first-person shooter magic game. I can't remember the hell else. And then they go even further away from it with Hi-Fi Rush, which doesn't even match any of the other stuff. So what he was saying is, like, it's probably to keep your company, this is just getting his opinion, to stay within a closer wheelhouse. And he's kind of right. What did Kojima make after he left Konami? He made Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Death Stranding is not that far from Metal Gear Solid 5. I mean, granted, it doesn't have all the stealth stuff, but the main action mechanics are very familiar. You know, a lot of the way he serves story to you is very close to the way it's served in Metal Gear Solid, whereas it involves, a lot of the cinematics, it involves additional reading if you want to do it, stuff like that. So, I mean, I think he's right in that sense, but also at the same time, I say this about him. Like, the reason why he made Gravity Rush is it's almost exactly the same reason why Tango Gameworks made Hi-Fi Rush, because they wanted to get away from being considered the horror studio. Tango Gameworks is known for making Resident Evil like horrors because of Shinji Mikami, who's their head guy. Same thing with Toyama and Team Siren. They made a Gravity Rush to essentially try to move away to sort of away from the idea that, okay, we only make these siren spooky horror games, these, Silent Hill-like games. So obviously the experiment didn't work that well. I mean, I don't know how much Gravity Rush was, but I know it wasn't a big budget game.
Yeah, it wasn't. But
I don't know exactly how successful it is or if it even paid off of itself. Maybe it did.
Yeah, real quick here. GZDR, he goes, I'm surprised you guys aren't saying the very game Sony or Microsoft are trying to dethrone in the games as a service space are funding negative ads towards them. Fortnite, Valorant, Apex Legends. Imagine if a games as a service is an exclusive. They wouldn't need the third-party game anymore. What do you mean by negative ads? I don't understand that part. Actually, I don't understand your point.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't get that one.
I'm trying to understand. Can I reread it?
Yeah, go ahead. You could reread it.
It's like, I'm surprised you guys aren't saying the very game Sony or Microsoft is trying to dethrone in games as a service space. So he's talking about, like you mentioned later, Fortnite, Apex Legends, and all those games. And they're funding negative ads towards them.
That's a part I don't understand.
I don't know. That. Yeah, maybe because we're not a target audience, so we don't get those ads. And it says, imagine if games as a service isn't exclusive, they wouldn't need the third party game anymore. Yeah, I mean, it can't be exclusive because they can't survive without it being on PC. Yeah,
but they want those third parties because they bring the money too,
Yeah, but I mean, yes, obviously, somebody like Sony wants their own Fortnite, right? They want that thing. But I think in general, a lot of Fortnite and, not so much Overwatch these days, But a lot of, you know, Fortnite and you know, PUBG have the eye of the zeitgeist, right? They are the ones that you go to if you want these sorts of experience. And same thing with the well, they got what is it? They did get Destiny.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, I think that's what they're chasing for, essentially having those sort of service type of games.
What ads? I don't understand the ads.
I don't know what they're ads. Yeah.
Like, because Otaku Man's trying to break it. Okay, so here's what GZR says: funding negative ads towards Sony's games as a service games, paying influencers to say Concord is dead before the beta came out, saying it's DEI, saying Sweet Baby Inc. has something to do with it. Wait, what? I don't understand any of this.
That sounds like tinfoil hat stuff.
Yeah, right? It sounds like some conspiracy stuff. So you're saying correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like he's saying that the rival games as a service companies are paying influencers to shit on Sony's games as a service. That's tinfoil hat stuff right there, man.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. The whole thing GZDR that you're seeing with the influencers saying it's DEI and all those are just the people that make videos about everything's DEI. Like, those are good. They're going to make videos about that stuff regardless of who's making the game.
But what about the stuff let's take that out of the equation. It's still tinfoil hat stuff.
Yeah. You know, that they're paying. Yeah, I don't think anybody's paying them to say that. Yeah.
No, especially with, you know, those influencers that just sort of feed off of the negativity in the industry. Oh, blah, blah, did all this. Those guys are just chasing the dragon, you know, of controversial, yeah, of controversy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No. So he says, and this is his belief. He's obviously entitled to it. He goes, I truly believe Bungie sabotaged Naughty Dog's effort to turn factions into games as a service. The fans would have jumped ship from Destiny. Okay, I'm not gonna get too far into that, but that's
your opinion. that's a pretty cool route to take if you want to, you know, if you're thinking about why the hell factions never came out. I mean, yeah. I think Chris would be proud about with that one.
Oh, with the conspiracy part.
Yeah, like, well, saying like, you know, they got Bungie to release these games. That's why they didn't need factions to ever come out, because it's like, why the hell do they?
Oh yeah, that's right, because Sony owns Bungie now. Yeah. But that's a little too in the weeds for me, man.
I'm feeling that that feels a little bit conspiracy-ish. I mean, to be honest, whatever, but Bungie seems to be already shooting themselves in the foot, and they don't need to have factions. Is not going to be doing it.
Yeah,
they already had a lot of issues already going into Sony. You know,
Otaku Man goes, this isn't 1995 EA. Yeah, those guys, man, they did shit like that.
No, you know? Yeah, they did stuff like that, but like internally, like you know, like okay, we're, you know, Bungie is a first party company, and they're like, nah, you know, this faction set, it's garbage. Don't even fund that. You know,
I think
what it was is that they probably it's the age, the reason why factions doesn't exist is because it's the age old adage, a company that excels at you know, narrative driven games attempting to do a service / multiplayer type title.
Again, I said this before and I'll say it again, the only reason Last of Us, the first one, had multiplayer is because that was the era of the tacked on multiplayer. I know there's a couple of really passionate people, but most people did not play that, so it was foolish that they even tried to make another one, you know, because when people talk about The Last of Us, 99% of people do not talk about the multiplayer, they talk about the story. No one cares about multiplayer in The Last of Us. And when they shuttered factions, I was not surprised. I was even surprised they were even announcing it. Like you knew you were going to kill this shit. Why bother? You're just giving dudes, you know, I'm not going to name names. You're just giving these guys false hope, you know? Mm-hmm. It's silly. No one, I'm sorry. I know there's people out there that like The Last of Us multiplayer. Cool. Most people don't care. You know, and Sony's having to put money into that.
It's like the same thing with the Uncharted multiplayer. Nobody cared.
Yeah, they kept trying, but yeah, no one cared. You know. All right, so that's gonna do it for the show. Do we have anything to plug? Oh, Manny, do you finish your plugging, or is that still good?
I mean, I guess I'll do it. I guess I'll do it until the end of the next week, because I got another Ninja Turtles thing coming out.
By the way, the reason I could ask, I know the last thing you were talking about, it was like July 10th. So I was wondering if I was
It's July 10th. But coming real soon, because we're still in, apparently IDW loves the Turtles stuff. So IDW is relaunching their Ninja Turtles comics again. It's pretty much the continuation of what was done before. It's like they call them the IDW, the version of the Turtles. It's not the Last Ronin or any of that sort of stuff. It's their one that they did once they got the rights to. Anyway, they're relaunching that title again, coming back again, and they got me and Kari to do a cover for them. So yeah, so coming real soon, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one from IDW, we got a cover for that. So yeah, also, you know, before that, on the 10th, we had the 40th anniversary of Ninja Turtles. It's all about Ninja Turtles these days, because it's all 40 now. So yeah, we got that the special that just came out. That's at comic book stores, or you can get them online. Apparently, my cover is doing pretty good. My 2003 Tyra cover. So yeah, good stuff.
Cool. Yeah, the Turtles.
Turtles, dude.
Rich, what's going on with the Coalition, man?
Yeah, so still a lot of things I'm writing for the website. As I mentioned earlier, I will have a review of Path of the Goddess coming up very soon. There's a couple of other things happening behind the scenes. And I'm also starting to get emails about PAX West, so I will have an idea of what I will be seeing at that event next month. But yes, I would say stay tuned to the Coalition. Oh, and by the way, in the future, there may be some discussion regarding Deadpool and Wolverine. You know, I know that our entertainment editor Dana has already seen the movie. Obviously, she can't say anything about the movie, but just stay tuned. There's going to be a lot of things coming talking about that in gaming and everything else. So stay tuned to thecoalition.com.
And there may be a collaboration, because I'm sure some of the Throwdown guys would potentially like to be on this podcast, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll open up that conversation. Not me, though. I'm done with Marvel. I don't give a fuck. I'm not watching this fucking movie, you know? So not me. Same thing with the potential Russos coming back. I don't give a fuck. Don't care. I'm done, you know? And you heard this other rumor, not to turn this into a movie podcast, heard that other rumor that they're trying to bring Tony Stark back, but he's going to turn into Doctor Doom. if that's a rumor, so obviously take that how you will. But if they do that, it's just reeks of desperation, man. And maybe it'll work. You know, shout out to Jay Shep. He's like, yo, I'll watch that shit day one. True. Not me. I'm good. You know, I'm good. All right, man. Let's start wrapping up here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join a Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. We are also on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show. That's two words. Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com. To listen to past episodes, and if you have been watching us on YouTube and you like the video, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live, baby. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez. You're muted. You're still muted. Wait, you're still muted? You're still muted.
See you next time.
Hey, there we go.
First time's a charm.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
See you later, party people.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
C-Fresh, what about the new Aliens movie? Fuck no! after that trash-ass Prometheus? Fuck that.
You know? What about Gladiator 2?
No, I'm not watching that shit either. Fuck that. Cheap cash-ins. Fuck that. You know? All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday, man. Later.
Hey. Why is it?